Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right, let's get on to a very serious subject. As we approach the planned protest action and possible national shutdown on the 30th of June, the CSO, the Community Security Organization, has issued a detailed update to the community. The message is reassuring. It's based on the current assessment. There's no indication that the community members should change their daily routines. At the same time, the CSO says it has raised its threat level and put additional security plans and resources in place. For some members of the community, those two messages seem a little bit difficult to reconcile. If there is no need to alter our behavior, why the heightened security posture? Is this simply good planning, or does it reflect a concern that might not have been shared publicly yet? To help us understand the current security assessment, we're joined by the CEO of the CSO, Liron Saunders. Liron, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you
for joining us. Hope you're well.
Yeah, yourself.
I'm well, but you know, we all look. You know, when you're on a flight,
yeah,
and it's bumping a lot. Like, I always look to the flight attendants.
Okay.
And I want to see how they are.
9 times out of 10, they're very relaxed.
Exactly. When they're not, then it's a problem. So I'm looking at you very, very closely and just trying to get a feeling on of how relaxed you are. So can we start with the obvious question? Your communication says there's no reason for people to change their daily routines, but you've increased the CSO threat level. Help us reconcile that.
Okay. So what's very important to understand is our responsibility is to act prudently in terms of the security mm-hmm. procedures we put out, given our understanding of the environment. What do we want to do? We want to increase our security procedures as much as possible that we can handle to make sure the community can carry on as normal. So where we can increase our security protocols and procedures to make sure the community can keep a normal routine,
okay,
we will. Mm-hmm. Where we can increase our procedures but need something more of the community, i.e. a change of routine, obviously we'll communicate that specifically. So given the current environment, we believe the security procedures we can put out mean the community can carry on. Correct.
So in other words, right, if you were to say to people, we need you to change something, it means that the security that you're able to provide in a way needs that additional assistance.
Correct. Okay. So currently the security we are putting out, we believe, is prudent and sufficient to allow everyone to carry on as per normal. If we felt that we needed more assistance from the community, that's where we would ask for an alter in activities.
Okay, so that makes sense. Because people have said to me, and I've had a few comments, saying if the CSO has raised its threat level, maybe they are more concerned that they are letting on. And I guess that goes to the flight attendant story, where we look at the flight, you know, are they more concerned? Are you can you talk to those people?
Yeah. So look, I think what's very important is just because we're increasing our threat assessment, but not changing everyone's daily routine, doesn't mean that you need to, and we're leading on, or we're keeping different stories, essentially. What we do is we try not to act the same every single time. So I think this is maybe the 5th or 6th time I've been here where we've had a change in threat level. But the communications are always very different. I don't know if anyone's noticed that. We do that specifically because we can't follow the same procedure every single time. The assessments that we make are different per the environment, and per the environment is how we communicate and what we dictate the community should do and what we dictate we should do. The last time we did a threat level increase, the security outputs were different to what we're doing this time. So it's very situational dependent.
So every time there is, and in fact that was my next question, is an increase in threat level, what that means, obviously what you can share, and I don't expect you to compromise the CSO or the community, but in terms of what that actually means from a operational perspective.
So when we look at a risk assessment and a threat level, the risk assessment dictates what we believe the threat level should be. the threat level dictates what our minimum security outputs should be according to that threat level, according to our matrix.
Right.
Now, that again, what's important is our minimum security outputs for that threat level. So in this threat level, we've got A, B, and C. But given the type of risk or the assessment we've made, we need to now implement G, H, and R versus last time was X, Y, and Z.
Right, almost,
yeah. So there's a minimum standard, and then there's a specific standard to what we've assessed the risk being, and that assessed risk is always different depending on the situation.
Right, because this time, for example, there is the June 30th. This revolves around June 30th. So is your concern primarily around planned protests themselves, or is it possibly about other individuals or groups who could potentially exploit that situation?
Look, there's multiple factors affecting our decision. It's just not one decision in isolation being June the 30th. If it was, it would probably be a
bit
easier.
It's almost like it's a matrix, I suppose.
Correct. Yeah. So June the 30th was the start, and then we've got a whole bunch of other elements that are taking place. I've got an amazing team that we all work very well together, and we've been picking up trends over the past month leading up to June the 30th, which obviously have concern because trends dictate what could be a potential outcome. So given the trends, given the data, and given what we've seen in the environment leading up to June the 30th, as well as other factors, we're acting prudently according to that.
So in other words, I think the last time we spoke was about these anti-Semitic reports. So would that, for example, get plugged in to creating creating an outcome?
Correct. So what we do is we're very data driven. So we've been looking at the data over the past month, over the past 2 months. We're seeing what trends are taking place in the environment. Mm-hmm. And based on those trends leading up to June the 30th, as well as other information at our disposal, we make the decision on our risk assessment. The risk assessment decides our threat level. The threat level decides our security outcome.
Right. And in terms of your cooperation with SAPS, the various other state bodies?
So as I always say, we don't work alone. We work with everyone. Number one, being the community, we need their support. And number two, we need the support of the local authorities as well as security partners. Leading up to June the 30th specifically, there's lots of communication between the policing networks as well as all security partners on support, plans, procedures, etc., based on all these trends everyone's witnessing. So it's a real collaborative effort between us, other security companies, local authorities, communities, etc. So it's really, we never act alone because alone we can't win, but together we really can.
So based on everything you know today, do you expect the average member of the Jewish community to be able to go about their normal work, school, or activities? Well, I think schools mostly are closing.
So look, as of right now, past 8 on Friday morning, everything should carry on as per normal. Again, this is constantly evolving. I was going to say day by day, but I'd even say hour by hour. Hour by hour, we're learning more. And as I communicated, if there's something significant we need to tell the community, i.e., as an example, don't go to work today, work from home, we will communicate that. It's our responsibility to do.
And certainly we will be part of that. And if there's anything to talk about anytime, whether it is over the weekend or any other time, the relationship between ChaiFM and the CSO is one that we'll get you that news. We'll get you that update and that information. So I think that's important that we have an environment. You have a communication system. We have a communication system. And together, we will make sure people know what they need to know.
Correct. As we were saying, at this point in time, everyone should carry on with normal with increased vigilance, increased understanding that leading up to June the 30th, there could be road closures, there could be protests. Where are our concerning areas? Where have protests happened in the past? So just to be wary and mindful not to potentially cross over spill zones. To make sure that you are safe.
And what we'll ask CSO is just to keep us, as I said, informed. We will keep you informed. So if you want to just make sure you're following the CSO on social media, you're following us on social media, and we'll make sure you get that information if need be. Social media is full of rumors, predictions, unverified information. I mean, these, you know, everybody's got an aunt who's going to send a WhatsApp that says they heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. There might even be a voice note, but that voice note is never going to be dated. It's never going to be identified and probably relates to something that happened in 1987. But it's a problem because it does cause anxiety. How do we handle this?
So I think the most important is to trust reliable sources, i.e., We've been on a journey at the CSO to increase our communications with the community. Why? Not because we want to, because we have to, and we only communicate when we have to, i.e. if there's a communication that we send out, it's based on verified information that we can vouch for. We speak in definites. I spoke to Simon, I think, 2 days ago, and I said to him, I don't have the answers because it's not a definite and I don't speculate. And that's what we do at the CSO. So understand that sometimes what you're reading on Facebook, Instagram, hearing on news outlets could be rumors, it could be unverified, and the best way is to find one or two trusted sources that you find completely reliable and that you believe are honest with you, and follow those sources. And again, I think from a CSO perspective, we follow all outlets, social media, news agencies, etc., to understand more and to understand what people are reporting. And if you're unsure, you can ask us and we'll say, this is true, this isn't true, or we're not sure, we'll investigate it and get back to you. But our team's very invested in that as well.
Are there particular types of locations or activities that people should avoid on the day more than others? I see a few people asking me about highways, for example.
So if we look back at the past protests and riots in South Africa, major highways were blocked. Again, if this does happen, we'll probably see it, I'm hoping, in the early hours of the morning, and we can communicate those bits of information. But you're looking at spill zones where these protests could start from. So any informal settlements could have a spill zone onto any close highways. So any major national highways, I would say, could be a concerning area. However, do we know exactly where they're going to? Are they going to block off the N1? I can't tell you because we don't know yet. Could it be the M1? Of course it could be the M1. So we just need to see on the morning and just
In fact, that's
understand.
What we will do is on that morning, we will keep checking in with you every, whatever it is, 30 minutes, every hour, whatever, if there is if there's anything that is relevant. So I would make sure that you remain in touch with us as you normally are. If somebody's traveling around Johannesburg 30th of June, the most practical advice you would give them, I would say,
stick to areas that you know. Look, the main thoroughfare roads between Joburg could be a problem, but your suburban roads, hopefully, given the security presence around all areas, should remain intact.
Something I haven't clarified, and I just want to do that, is should June the 30th is a few days away, but it's very clear that there's nervousness out there already now. So should people already start being a little bit more cautious ahead of it? Or can we completely, you know, roll down our windows and let the wind be in our hair until the 30th of June early in the morning?
No. So I think the reason why we communicated when we did is because we've noticed this lead up. If we look at we're looking at our statistics for the past month, we can see I don't want to say significant spike in crime because we're not 100% crime experts, but we have seen a significant spike in suspicious activity, crime, a whole bunch of factors leading up to June the 30th, and it's been growing from the beginning of the month. So it's important we're taking the prudent approach starting from basically yesterday. Leading up all the way to June the 30th to increase our security procedures so that everyone else can maintain a normal, regular daily life. So I think from a vigilance perspective, an awareness perspective, you should be starting now leading up to June the 30th and potentially beyond.
Right, absolutely. And of course, that will keep you posted. Linda says, driving on highways. I hope, Linda, we've answered that question. Carol Z says recently Liron said that the CSO, that he says, we'll go to the end of the earth to protect our children. I fell in love instantly. Well, that is good to know. I'll give him your number, Carol, and let's see if that is reciprocated. It is 8:37. Final message to anybody, anything we haven't covered that is important for community, and I mean high community, you know, to know.
Look, I think from our side, we're increasing our security output as we always do. Try and maintain a normal, regular weekend and week ahead, and just follow trusted news sources, and we'll keep you posted if there's anything significant that needs to be shared.
That is where we leave it. Thank you, as thank you. Always, Liron Saunders, the CEO of CSO. The incredible amount of work that they do to behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, really just to make sure that we continue, that they're protecting Jewish life, and more importantly, not more importantly, but as importantly, a Jewish way of life.